You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there. Is this thing on? You hear us? We don't hear us in our own ears. Anyway, hello there. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with a very special guest in studio today. The Intercontinental Champion of the World. What day are you on if you're never anywhere?
176. Thank you very much. And thank you for preparing for me. Thanks for preparing me to be here today because you gave me headphones that don't even work. Your headphones don't work. Nobody's headphones works in the entire booth. That's great. You're really good at this job, Nathan. I see you dress up for the occasion, too, since I'm coming here. I dress up in a three-piece suit. You're in a shirt that says Zagura on it, that says your own name.
In case I forget, you know, I want to be prepared. You did come in a nice three-piece suit with, I believe that's velvet, a velvet lapel.
It is a velvet lapel.
That is something.
Thank you.
That is very fancy.
Well, it's kind of like something like how I beat you in fantasy football this week.
I was going to lead you there.
Were you going to lead me? Because I don't need to be led.
Because you day 176.
He was in the lead.
You know, he was in the lead, right. Day 176 of the never-ending Intercontinental title reign, and you scored 178 points this week in fantasy football, the most in the league. By a large margin, you beat me. I scored 150, and that was second in the week, but not enough to beat you because, well, you're awesome.
Mind you, this is a team that I hate. I've said it from day one since we drafted this in fantasy football. I said I hated this team.
And you blame Pumpkin Ale.
I had too much Pumpkin Ale, and I blame Pumpkin for my lousy draft. However, it was good enough to beat you, and that's all that counts. It's like
I know, and it sucks.
It's like you were Odell Beckham Jr., and I was the kicking net, and I just embarrassed you. I just embarrassed you.
Do you guys have one more matchup before the season's
over? Oh, we do.
Yeah, you know why? Because he has to have me in his division every single time. Like, we pick divisions,
sure.
And usually you pick the lousiest person. But Nathan likes to make it a point to put me in his league, and he always has the hardest league. Like, our league right now, I have the most points against me, so that's why I'm 1-2. However, when it really counts,
I was the one. You were the one in 21-1, as they say. Yes. You beat me, and it really pissed me off. Too much. Marvin Jones, Matt Stafford. Who else? Yeah, DeMarco Murray, T.Y. Hilton.
Just name them all. Stafford. I mean, Stafford was the man.
Marvin Jones had 200 Barnage. Yards.
I had Gary Barnage.
Big play.
Coming out of his shell. You know, it's taken him a little bit, but hey, you know what? I'm ready to go. I think next week he's going to get a touchdown. I told him that. I said, Gary, next week is touchdown. Big play Gary's coming back.
Two-point conversion this
Two
week.
Two-point conversion.
Touchdown.
I'll take it.
Inching his way there.
Yes, he is getting right. Baby steps.
I want to see big play Gare. I haven't seen him all year.
I'd like to see him in the end zone because he's promised us. You know, big play Gare's favorite wrestler growing up, present company excluded, of course, was the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels. And so he said this year when he catches a touchdown, he's going to do the low pose.
He's not going to do like the Rihanna that seems to be the popular thing to do right now.
I hope not.
By the way, what's with all the flags? If you do a dance in the middle of the end zone,
no fun league.
It's no fun zone. Yeah. Hey, do not have fun here.
Well, you can't choreograph it. Like, you could dance, but if you and I had a dance that we had thought up together and we wanted to dance.
Is this
together,
in the rule book?
Yeah.
Like,
it
this is the
yes,
rule book.
Yes.
Hey,
yeah.
You can dance, but you can't dance with your friends.
Correct.
Your
That's
friends
correct.
Can't celebrate with you.
That's correct.
And I think
right.
what happened
on your
is,
own.
Yes, one guy obviously has his dance, and then because you've talked about it throughout the week, you get so excited when that person actually gets to do that dance that you jump in doing the dance next to him, and then the flags come out.
Yeah, well, you're a showman, so this was an idea I had as a way to circumvent it, is that have like something like, well, I guess it would be a prop if you had it in your pocket, but on your towel, write a website address. So when you score, you hold up the towel with the website address, people go to it, and you have like a one-minute choreographed celebration with you and your boys that's already like preloaded up there. I think
you would think of something like that,
yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I feel like you would think of something like
I would
that.
Think of something. That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, I think somebody should do that. I think that'd be great. If I ever, you know, get my shot
you
in
won't.
The fourth quarter of the fourth preseason game, which I won't, that's what I'm going
to
do.
I mean, we need quarterbacks right now.
I know.
No offense to the Cleveland Browns, but geez, everyone's just going.
Loosening up over here, Sasha, whatever you need. Loosening up, getting ready, staying ready. So tell everybody why you're in town, first of all. You're returning home. We know that. But
SmackDown Live is at the queue tonight, you know, and I feel like it's going to be a huge homecoming. I'm the Intercontinental Champion. I retained it last week on SmackDown Live, so now I am home in Cleveland. So
over
I imagine it's going to be a huge homecoming tonight.
You've beaten another Clevelander a couple
times.
Another Clevelander.
A couple times. I mean, how many times do I have to beat Dolph Ziggler before they stop putting me up against Dolph Ziggler?
I don't know.
I mean, the guy is very good in the WWE ring. He's just not as good as me. Nobody is, really. Nobody. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, SmackDown Live tonight at the Queue. Definitely stop by.
Do you like that it's live again?
I love it. There's nothing like a live show. You know, you can sit there and have them taped, but you kind of know it's taped. Taped alive, if you will. But this is live in your face. You never know what's going to happen. And anything that happens out of the ordinary, you have to go with. You know, you kind of just have to go because it's live.
And by the way, if you go to the Queue tonight, not only will you see The Miz, but tonight there is a SmackDown Championship match, the WWE Championship, because it's not the Universal Championship, whatever that means.
No, it's not. It's the WWE Championship.
That's right. Tonight. Yep. Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles.
You got it.
One more time.
And you know that and whoever wins there they'll go to a triple threat at No Mercy. So
with John Cena.
Cena on the WWE network. Yeah. Look at that. I got
a couple plugs in.
I mean, my goodness. Yeah, I'm doing it all.
You're 1-2 in the AFFL, but I know you also are in the WWE league. You're in some celebrity leagues. How are those going for you?
Let me tell you about the NFL Network Celebrity League. So I had MJD this week. Maurice Jones-Drew, for those that don't know who that is.
Yes.
Which I imagine you would
know
who that is. People would know. He was never a Cleveland Brown, but, you know, he's a popular guy. He's on the NFL Network.
He may have been on the Jags for the crazy bottle-throwing game. I imagine he could have been around at that point. Yeah.
Could have been. So, anyway, I was up against him. Now, let me remind you, I had Adrian Peterson, Doug Martin, and Danny Woodhead. They all went down in week two, so I had to go pick up someone on the waiver wire. There's not many people left. Picked up Shane Vereen, seeing that, you know, Rashard Jennings.
Yeah,
then this week, he's out. I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, why am I even playing this game? I've lost 4 running backs in the first 3 weeks. So now I have to go to the waiver wire. I'm going to go for Howard. I'm going for him.
Yep.
I'm going to try and get him.
Yep.
That I will. I'm number 6 on the waiver.
Big 10
but I'm 2-1 in the league. I'm 2-1, so I'm doing really well. I was 2-0 until this.
And who have you beat so far? Do you recall?
So Summer Sanders.
Okay.
Oh, uh-huh.
Do you know who that is?
Olympian.
I had no idea.
Olympic swimmer.
I had no idea.
Like many multiple gold medals.
Yeah. Beat her.
Beat her.
Yeah. Is it her? I don't even. Summer could be a guy.
No, it can't.
Couldn't it?
No.
Could Summer be a guy?
No. I feel like you're going with the seasons, like maybe Winter could be a guy, but Summer is definitely a girl.
I beat her. I beat her.
That's good. Yeah.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Right. You beat me.
By the way, I'm trying to make trades in this league. Nobody wants to trade with me. No one wants to trade me in the NFL.
Do they think you're snakes?
They think I'm – okay, here's the trade offer I did. I did Jordy Nelson and Spencer Ware for Todd Gurley. Why are you quiet? Why all of a sudden – you can't have dead air in the radio.
That's a little bit of a jacuzzi trade.
You think?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a
you don't like that?
Trade. No, because –
okay, I went Jordy Nelson for Forte straight up.
That's fair.
Yeah, I know. Guess who wouldn't do it? Michael Fabiano.
Fabiano
because would not do it.
Is it a PPR league or a standard
Yes, it's a PPR league.
Oh, then he definitely
I know.
Do
one
it.
Point PPR. I know. Thank you very much. Yeah. I need a running back.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, I'll give you Jordy Nelson. Oh, I'm not going to do that. Why not? He has so many people on the bench. I don't think he's very good at fantasy football, to be honest with you. He might be the NFL Network fantasy football guy, but I don't think he's that good.
I don't think he wants to give you the satisfaction of making a trade with you.
I don't think so either. I don't think anyone does.
I definitely think that that's part of it.
I also went for David Johnson, and I said I will give you my entire lineup for David Johnson. They said no.
Talking with The Miz here, Cleveland's own. And I do have to ask you this because it's one of the things that's great to see about your intercontinental reign is that you've been reunited with your wife back in the WWE on the road with you, playing a little bit of a role, I might say. Some might say in the fact that you have been keeping the title going on. What's it been like to have her back on the road?
Have you seen the new No Mercy poster?
No.
For our pay-per-view on WWE Network? Yes. And not only that, it looks like a Calvin Klein ad. Like, it looks like CK1, the only one. Like, literally, if you look at it, it's like a bottle of, like, just says No Mercy on it, and it has me and her in black and white. It's ridiculous. It's going in my living room.
Nice.
But, yeah,
is
she looks
here?
Yes, that is it. How amazing is that?
That is phenomenal.
It looks like it should be on the cover of a book. I feel like Fabio, to be honest.
Are you guys going to name
Dolce Gabbana?
Yeah. Are you going to name whatever you're spraying? Like when Rick Martel had Arrogance that he sprayed on people, are you going to name
this? Do you have a particular name? I feel like you've thought about this.
No, I haven't thought. When I saw the bottle right there.
Well, when you think of a name, let me know. If anyone out there on Browns Daily, go on Twitter and let me know if you have a name for the spray that we put in Dolph Ziggler's eyes. And people have been telling me, oh, you cheat. The fact is, I'm Intercontinental Champion. You have to beat me.
That's right.
I don't have to beat you. I can sit there and lay on the ground if I want and let it count to 10. I still be the Intercontinental Champion. You have to beat me. That's what I had to do to get the title, and now you have to do it with me.
Well, much like last night in the presidential debate, to be topical, Donald Trump was questioned about how he...
I didn't get to see that.
It's a sad day for America. I mean, it's just
because of Hillary and Donald both. Or both?
I mean, it's just like... It's literally like when you would watch a Saturday Night Live skit of what debates were. Like, it's just happening. That's real.
It's like children fighting.
Oh, my God. Like, ridiculous.
You're ugly. No, you're ugly. No, you have stupid hair. Oh, yeah?
No.
Well, you have a shoulder shake. No. I saw
and
a shoulder
I blame Hillary Clinton for that.
No.
By the way, the only thing on Twitter that I saw or on, like, Instagram was Hillary's shoulder kind of.
She did a little Eddie Guerrero?
A little dance.
She
did a little Viva La Raza. And I was like, oh, okay. But that's all the news that I get from everything out of everything that was said in a presidential debate.
So they were asking Trump about why one of the questions was, you know, how for a person of his wealth, why he pays, you know, so little taxes. And he says, well, there are rules. And I basically use the rules to my advantage to pay less taxes. He said, that's called being smart.
Yeah.
And so what you're doing is you're using the rules to your advantage. If the referee's not looking, he doesn't see it. It doesn't happen.
Well,
smart.
Yeah, it's smart.
Take advantage of your surroundings, your environment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not my fault you're stupid.
That's right.
Dolph Ziggler.
He's falling for the old spray in the eyes trick twice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't fall for the old banana in the tailpipe.
You got Donald Trump's tax person. Who's he?
you need that guy.
I need to get that guy.
You need that guy.
I'm paying 11% in Los Angeles.
Wow.
State tax is 11%. It's bankrupt state. You got to be kidding me.
Ohio's not a good state for state taxes.
No,
either.
I know.
It is a bad. You do know that.
So I was literally going to buy a house here. But decided not to because the state tax is so high.
Well, we're sad to not have you.
Well, my parents live here, so, you know.
You always have a place with me.
I had a place in Vegas. They don't have state tax.
That's a good place to have a place.
How great is that?
That sounds a lot.
Wouldn't it be nice?
For the record, it sounds a lot better to have a place in Vegas than here.
No, are you kidding me? I love Cleveland.
I know you do. That's why you're here all the time.
I know.
Coming out today, Mr. Hero.
My dad, by the way, loves his Mr. Hero on Ridge Park Square. Loves it. Doesn't like any of the other ones.
It's a fine
loves
place.
The one on Ridge Park Square.
He did have to make me a Mr. Hero for one of our random bets.
One of the bets. Did we get you off your phone? I'm sorry. Were you literally on your phone right then and there?
Absolutely.
He's scouting.
Are we talking too much for you?
Now you feel.
Am I taking?
I'm not in your league. I don't watch wrestling, so I feel like I'm out of this conversation.
No, you can butt in. You can come and join in on the conversation.
Do you have a name?
Am I taking your job right now?
Maybe he's looking.
By the way, did you dress up for you? Neither of you dress up.
This is radio.
Do you think Ryan Seacrest comes to his job dressed like
he wears
you guys,
a hat on the
you guys
radio.
Look like you he literally just got out of bed.
He wears a hat like Mr. Robot.
Like Mr. Robot? Yeah. I bet you do watch that show.
It's a great show.
I haven't seen
it. I tried to get Wilhelm into it. It's
Maurice
unbelievable.
Is trying to get me into it.
It's
and I'm
unbelievable.
Like, you think?
Unbelievable.
Better than Stranger Things?
I haven't watched that. But that's
you're on your phone again.
I'll just check your phone.
Who are you looking? What are you doing? Are you Instagramming, tweeting?
No, I bet he's watching film.
I'm not.
Of the Westlake Demons.
No.
He's also in a high school football coach.
Oh,
he's
you
doing,
are?
Yeah, he's doing very well. The Westlake Demons special teams coordinator. He's already had, like, what? How many recoveries, onside kicks?
One. And
four, touchdowns, four returns.
Touchdown.
Yeah.
You're killing it, huh?
I am.
Killing it.
Can you help the Browns?
I'm in the right place. They know where I'm at every day, 2 hours a day, if they need me.
Yeah. So, what do you think about the Browns? What you've seen so far this year? Plucky.
I called you after the game, and I go, "What is wrong with them?" And you told me they played hard. They should have won that game.
They should have.
Why don't we ever get the luck? You know, like I don't know what it is or how it happens, but why doesn't it ever come to us? It's always like, oh, it's the Browns. Yep. That's what's going to happen.
Well, in this game, I think they tried to make their luck. Corey Lemonnier went in there, sack, strip, fumble, recovered in field goal range. And then the kick just didn't go in.
I mean, I don't, but here's the thing. How does a field goal kicker get injured, and then we bring it. I mean, Parquet, like, I don't blame this guy. This guy was probably, you know, sitting on his couch like, God,
fresh
man,
off
you
the
know,
streets,
hey,
yeah.
guess what? We're going to give you a job. And he's like, all right. I imagine that
and
guy was
six
kicking.
Field goal attempts.
He was probably like, kicking the living hell out of the ball all weekend, getting himself back in shape. But it takes a while, you know. It's not his fault.
And he's never, you know, he's never been with that holder, Britton Colquitt, who was with the Denver Broncos, or the long snapper, Charlie Hewlett. So the timing isn't there. And I know it's very much a timing thing.
It is.
A special teams specialist you were for part of your career there. Yeah, it's unfortunate. But it's coming, though. You see these guys, like, guys, the scheme they use, Terrell Pryor. I mean, what a performance by Terrell Pryor. Crow's looking good.
I told someone to bench Terrell Pryor this week for Cole Beasley. I told someone, and they weren't happy with me. And I was like, listen. And no offense to him, but are you going to trust a rookie quarterback in Cody Kessler, or are you going to go with Cole Beasley, who is Dak Prescott's like guy?
Well, at least you beat me in fantasy football this week. So
but
you
would
can
you?
Tell
okay, okay, okay. Before you knew what happened this week, would you have played Terrell Pryor over Cole Beasley, which you know that Cole Beasley is Dak Prescott's guy? He's going to get, and it's a PPR league, so you know you're going to get eight receptions.
I think the way that I would look at it is that with Cole Beasley, you have. Your floor is much higher. Like, you have a pretty narrow band of where he's going to be, probably in like the, you know,
you're going to get 10 to 15 points.
Right.
Now, whereas Terrell Pryor, you're going to get 20 to zero.
He could have two.
So I'm trying to get him a good
amount. Solid
of,
10.
But he was not happy with me.
Well, Terrell Pryor turned this. In a game that we haven't seen in the National Football League since Frank Gifford did it in 1959 with over 30 yards passing, 20 yards rushing, and 140 yards receiving.
Do you think that Terrell Pryor is going to be doing the same kind of schemes now, or do you think that we did him and now people know about it?
He was just playing quarterback. I think you'll continue to see it.
You'll continue to see
him,
but I think
it stresses the defense.
But I think now the Washington Redskins have a template of how to prepare for that package, even with him at quarterback.
You think they'll go Wildcat at all?
No. Because with Pryor, you get basically the benefit of that. He can keep it himself and run it, so you can really play 11-on-11.
He reads the end properly in the zone read,
and he can throw it.
How come he never made it as quarterback?
Just wasn't, I don't think, it wasn't accurate enough from the pocket. You know?
He was pretty good on Oakland, though, for a little bit.
I think he's
like, what happens? I don't understand with these quarterbacks. So I obviously played high school
Normandy
football
Invaders.
For
Normandy
one season,
Invaders.
So I don't know
Did you
much.
Ever play the Normandy
so
Invaders
I don't,
well?
I don't know no. much. I don't understand how a quarterback comes in and does amazing, like an RG3, does an incredible, and then gets a knee injury, can't come back from it.
Well, I think with RG3, what happened, a lot of it is scheme. So they came up with a scheme. For example, remember how good the Wildcat was one year?
Yeah.
Then the NFL defense.
And the pistol. Pistol was a
NFL defense adjusted. Same with the read option with Kaepernick. And then the defenses adjust to it. They didn't know, just get to the mesh point
but
and
you
hit.
Still, but you still can't, like for a Colin Kaepernick, you still can't.
I think ultimately at the end of the day, if you cannot play from the pocket and consistently read defenses, process quickly, and deliver the football accurately at all levels in all areas of the field, you can't be successful. I don't think, in college, you can be an athletic quarterback and be
Johnny Manziel.
But in the NFL, to have longevity and sustained success, you need to be able to win from the pocket. And would you say that's your experience in your career?
Yes.
And you played with,
and those are the guys.
You played with some of the best: Drew Brees, Phil Rivers, and Aaron Rodgers.
And against, you know, Ben Roethlisberger and Tom
Peyton.
Brady and
you
Peyton
had
Manning.
Number.
Right. But I mean, even still, that was the preparation for the football game. Is you had to beat Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. It wasn't you needed to stop Wes Welker or any other targets. It was like, can you beat and pressure Tom Brady? That was it.
The sky's pre-snap.
Correct.
The sky's post-snap as long as you can, et cetera. Yeah, okay, I think that's what it is. So I don't think for Terrell Pryor, you know, one of the things coming out of Ohio State was accuracy was always an issue. He's got the arm strength, but it's quickness in decision-making, and then it's being accurate throwing the football. And I think the guys that don't make it at quarterback, those are the two reasons why.
Is he going to be an all-star as a wide receiver?
I mean, he certainly
– Is he Josh Gordon caliber?
I think it's early to say, but – In my time around the NFL, which
I mean,
is
have you,
limited
you, compared to you watch I've, practices, right?
He is awesome. For me, what I've never seen anybody improve as much in one year as Terrell Pryor. Terrell
so he's
Pryor,
a hard worker,
incredibly hard worker. Yeah. And if you go to ClevelandBrowns.com, the Browns mobile app, we played the interview yesterday. See my post game interview with him. He is passionate. He wants to win. Like, he is a competitor to the nth
see,
degree.
See, that's what I like to hear, because sometimes I feel that when people are really talented, super talented, they don't try hard. They say, oh, I'm talented. I can relax on my talent. Like me, I was never a talented guy. No, I don't. I know I'm intercontinental champion. No, honestly, but in WWE, I'm not talent. Like I wasn't just naturally gifted and was able to go into a ring like a Cody Rhodes. Like when Cody Rhodes, I watched his first match, I was there. It was incredible. I was like, oh my God, this kid is naturally has what it takes. A Randy Orton naturally has what it takes. I wasn't that guy. I had to work and work and work and work and work until I got there.
See, but to go back to your point, to talk about how do guys like RG3 play so well early, get hurt, or something changes and then they fizzle out is, when they feel like they've arrived and the game seems easy, they get complacent. They don't. Mm-hmm. They start watching less film. They start, giving a little bit less effort and just getting by on their talent. And then everything around them gets better. And you have, defenses scheming to stop what you do. And that's why guys fizzle out. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, I've seen it 100 times in my career. Guys get complacent. Guys think they've made it and they've arrived, and they don't work the way they did, to be as hungry as they are.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the work ethic of the top guys. And I would say a lot of people are starting to talk about it. A guy like Terrell Pryor is a guy you want in this locker room. He's a guy that you want on this team. His work ethic, his dedication to go from quarterback to receiver in a year's time and have the kind of game that he had and the will that he has and the desire to win. He's a young guy. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. I hope he's a guy that the Browns lock up. I think he's worth making an investment. I think he's a winning piece to this team.
Does Hugh Jackson motivate this team? Like, and he's like one of those people that, like, because he seems like, and when you look at him on like interviews on the Browns app or anything like that, you always seem like this is a guy that seems like he's a player's coach. Am I wrong by that? Or
no, what I was telling people in the preseason was, I was just telling you about that Arizona Cardinals show on Amazon Prime. What Bruce Arians does, not only is a very good strategist, but he relates to the players in different ways as is appropriate. He resonates with them, he has credibility with them, and he motivates them. And I think that's what Hugh does here. We're getting, when you line up the talent that we had on the field against the Miami Dolphins versus the talent that they had in terms of draft stance, in terms of compensation, et cetera, Pro Bowl appearances, it really wasn't close. What he's doing is motivating these guys, getting the best out of them, putting them in position. See, that's valuable. And as you said yesterday, and I think you said it perfectly, when the Browns trot out, have a gun full of all the bullets in terms of the talent that's available. I mean, they think about that game. You didn't have RG3 or McCown, who were supposed to be your quarterbacks. No Corey Coleman, who was Pepsi Rookie of the Week in week two. No Josh Thanks, Gordon, Pepsi. Who's suspended. No Carl Nassib, who was nominated for Pepsi Rookie of the Week in week number one. You were without.
Not to mention all the players we got rid of during.
Cam Irving.
Right. Joe Hayden. Thank you.
Cam Irving.
Not to mention all the players we got rid of this offseason.
Yeah, but this team, I think. You were talking about the want and the desire. I'm not making this as a statement relative to years past, but I have never personally seen a group of guys that after a loss were as angry about it. And part of it, I think, is because there's so many young guys that came from winning college programs. They're not used to it. Cody Kessler's not used to going out and losing. Agba at Oklahoma State, that's a power. I know you don't think of them as a national power, but they're always dominant in the Big 12. So you've got guys that are used to winning. Baylor always was racking up wins. They're used to that. And so I think you have a culture change that happened at the top, but also at the bottom with the infusion of these guys, and they're getting the most out of them.
All right, what's their record at the end of the year? and Nathan Zerger goes quiet.
It's going to be tough. I think, 4-12 you'd be real happy with at the end of
the
year.
You'd be happy with?
Yeah, I think this is a tough – this is a young – team. What I want at the end of the year, I'm not as concerned about the record as other people are. I want to find that there are guys on this team that can play for this team in the future and be the core of what it is going forward. And I want to see this team play in the final eight games
of
the
year.
Who
do you see as the core
better.
Right now?
You don't have one. The only people you'd have at the quote-unquote core from before would be Thomas and Hayden. And Joe Thomas is, he's getting up there in age. And I think you got to see Hayden play at that level consistently and stay healthy before he can be your core. But, you're going to want it to be Corey Coleman. You're going to want it to be, hopefully Josh Gordon stays on the straight
and narrow.
Joel Bitonio is part of your core.
Kirksey's part of your core.
Kirksey, yes. DeMario Davis still can be for a couple of years at 27. I think you're looking at, getting guys in the – Derek Kindred is a guy who stepped up. Nassib, Agba, Danny Shelton, the way he's played so far this year. So finding those guys and then being able to build around them when you're going to have another double-digit draft class next year. And if you can have a couple good drafts in a row, then you're really set up to go forward. Crow and Duke are part of the core of this team,
yes,
too,
they are.
With a guy like Danny Shelton, like last year people said he wasn't doing very well. So this year he's doing great?
Yes. He was certainly – I think he struggled last year, and I think part of it –
Do you think it's just because of rookie getting involved with the –
I think rookie learning the NFL game, I thought he was overweight, and I thought the scheme was bad. and it didn't play. It didn't play to any of his strengths, being a rookie and extremely overweight as well. And
it's amazing how much a scheme can really. But isn't that the coach's job to get to make sure that he plays to the favorable abilities of your players?
Well, some have that mentality. Some fit. You know,
this is our scheme. It's worked for forever.
Exactly. So you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole instead of round meets round. And I think that's what this staff does. And you hear Hugh Jackson talk about it. I'm going to learn what you guys do best and put you in situations to do that as often as I can.
And I think the biggest example of that is you look at this team and you look at, you know, you draft a Nassib, you draft an Ogba, you've got Shelton, you bring in a Paya. This Ray Horton's been a 3-4 guy his entire career. Entire career, you know, with the Steelers, Dick LeBeau, et cetera. That's his defense. It's been always a 3-4. Well, we have 4-3 personnel, and he's playing a 4-3. And I think it's helped Shelton immensely. In the game against Miami, they went with the 4-man, and on the interior, you had Shelton and Paya next to each other off of the over the guard. So which would that be a 2 technique?
Correct. 2-I.
So, and they're one gap penetrators now. So he's getting push that he wasn't getting last year and being disruptive because he's in a position where he's better. Last year he was playing a lot of zero technique, head up, and was basically being stood up and double teamed, and I don't think he was ready for it. And this, now he's excelling. Paya had a great game, and he's not that old of a guy either. No. He's still in his late 20s. So there are young guys, so I think that's what's about. To me, I'll be happy if the final 8 games of the year, and by the way, this team, and it's not to make excuses because they are 0-3. They had a stretch dominating the Baltimore Ravens, easily could have won that game, and then this one, if not,
they could be in first place right now.
They could be 2-1 pretty easy. I mean, it's not that hard to imagine them being 2-1.
But I feel like that's every year we say this. Like every year we're like, oh, we should have had this. We should have had this. Should have, would have, could have, but didn't. It's like
last year.
When does it change?
I don't feel like it. And it's got to. And it's got to. It's got to change. This was the first time I saw them make, you know, a huge play at the end when they needed to have it. The last time I remember seeing that was actually last season. Mingo got the interception in overtime off of Peyton Manning. And then they were not able to get a field goal.
But the one thing that I've
talked
about all offseason was you need to find the players that can make that play, but the good teams have the guys that make the 2 consecutive plays. And that would have been the made field goal that would have brought home the victory.
Yep. Yep. And that's how close it is. Just like for you, it's just difference between that and that's it. It's just that. It's just a very thin line between being the Intercontinental Champion and being Dolph Ziggler right now.
Yeah, but I'm a champion. I'm a winner. It's what winners do. Winners win.
Winners have velvet on their lapel. By the way, all right, I know you've got to get out of here in a second, or you can stay as long as you want.
I got to get out of here. I got to actually go to the queue and actually get ready for my homecoming.
Yes. Okay, so here you go. Here are some things right now. The City of Champion spray. That's a little too long. You're spraying awesomeness on your opponents. That's pretty good. That's kind of like
I wouldn't
want to
make them awesome.
The awe spray or essence of a champion. That's from our own producer, Mr. Jeff McDaniel.
Essence of a champion. I kind of like that.
I kind of like the essence of a champion.
The essence of a champion. But, arrogance was always the best.
But you're spraying the essence of a champion on someone else, and eventually they could be a champion.
Yeah, I don't want them to be champions.
No.
It could be like,
I love arrogance.
Leaving your mark on somebody.
I love arrogance, but obviously Rick Martel, that's all.
Right.
I mean, he
gone.
Took the best name possible.
He did.
So
he
didn't help me at all. Thanks, Nathan. Thanks for nothing, as always. Here's something. Do you drop Adrian Peterson in all your leagues?
If it's a redraft league and you need that spot, sure. He says he wants to come back, but
do you think he'll come back for the last 2 games? Maybe.
Maybe.
See, I'm debating on that. Like, I have Corey Coleman, which I could put on the IR right now.
You need to worry about getting there.
No, I'm. This is the NFL Celebrity Fantasy Football League. Okay. I need to get 2 running backs this week because I don't have one. I'm dropping Shane Vereen, and I already have Peterson on the IR.
Well,
but I think I'm
going to
get rid of
Woodhead?
Peterson and pick up someone else. And put Corey on the IR because he's not coming back for 4 weeks probably.
Yeah,
that's what I think I'm going to do. It's really nerve wracking though because I don't want to take out Peterson and then all of a sudden he comes back.
Don't you have like a scrubby receiver you can cut?
No, my team's full of champions. That's why I'm 2-1.
You've sprayed the essence of champion
all over them.
All over them.
And all over you, huh?
All over me.
I just gave it to you, didn't I, this week?
I need to take a shower so I can be an essence.
And you would have been undefeated. Just think, you'd have been the only undefeated team beat me, but you didn't. You're a big loser.
And just
you're a loser just like Dolph Ziggler. Look at you, you big loser. You big 6'6" loser.
6'4", but thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, I would have beaten anybody else in the league but other than you, and that's why you're the champion, I guess.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Kudos. Well, you know what? It's been fun. We've enjoyed having you here. I appreciate
it. Wow, I said 1:30, and it's exactly 1:30. Oh, look at you.
Wouldn't you know? Wouldn't you know? Well, good luck tonight.
Thank you very much. Go Browns, please.
Do you have anything planned
for
the
game?
City of
Cleveland? Be Washington, by the way. You're telling me Kirk Cousins is going to take over
you
Cleveland
like that.
Browns? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No, I don't think so. Cody Kessler, get stuff done. Get it done.
Get it done.
That's what I'm telling you, Cleveland Browns. Give it to Gary Barnage. Big play, Gare. I want a touchdown this week. I want two touchdowns. I want you to give me 20 points on my fantasy football team. You hear me? Get it done.
And
win.
And
you're winners. You
winners.
Are all winners, Cleveland.
Will you spray the essence of a champion all around this
building?
I'm going to
spray it all over this building.
All over this building.
I'm going to go into the locker room and spray it all over everything.
Give it to Brad Mellon so he can distribute it.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to go down to Brad Mellon and go, hey, you need some essence of a champion? Here you go, buddy.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, thank you for being with us.
Thanks,
Come
guys.
Out to the queue tonight. See SmackDown Live. All right. Matt Wilhelm and I will be back. Sir Andrew Gribble in next here on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Sir Andrew Gribble. Normalcy has returned as the awesome one has departed. After,
now I can speak.
After yelling at me.
It's a hard act to follow.
Yeah, it is. Gribbs, you're gonna have to bring
I put
it.
My phone down simply so that I didn't have to hear him talk anymore.
About your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're on our phones.
You got in there pretty good, though.
Towards the end.
Yeah, you were in there.
Well, yeah, the first 12 minutes, I had like three words in the entire show.
They were, you know what? It was like E.F. Hutton. When you talked, we listened. They were impactful words. Sir Andrew Gribble joining us now as he does every Tuesday. Tuesdays with Gribbs. And Gribbs, what is the latest on this team? What's going on in Brownsland?
Well, you know, I think it's kind of clearly it's a day off. But it's yesterday was more of the theme of, you know, it's a combination of not settling for moral victories, but also being encouraged at the same time, because I think after a loss like the one that happened on Sunday, you can go two ways. You can get really frustrated with coming so close and not winning and then just play terribly the next week, or you can be encouraged by what you did and build off that and actually take some optimism from what you did in Miami and go to Washington, which is supposed to be better than they've played so far. But I think it's a game that they should believe they can go in and win on the road. I mean, clearly – going on the road has not affected this team that much. They played really well. They're probably their best overall game this past week, and you just have to get better each week, which is encouraging because in these three losses, I think the team has gotten better each week despite having a lot of guys on the sidelines last week in Miami.
And I would say some of the things that you build off of is Cody Kessler not being overly bad, like people said, the performance by Terrell Pryor. I thought the offensive line's ability to open holes for the running backs and then the running backs getting those yards. And I think defensively, stopping the football. So of those things you build on, what do you think, you know, impressed you the most and you think is going to give you the most, I guess, the best plan going into Washington, trying to get your first victory?
I think overall, not just this past week, but the first 3 weeks, I think the consistency of the running game has been the best development for this team right now. I mean, currently fourth in the league in rushing, second in yards per carry.
Yes.
Isaiah Crowell is number two in the league in rushing behind LeGarrette Blount. I mean,
yes.
This is a team last year that they finished higher than they should have probably. The stats were misleading at the end of last year on this team rushing because you had two historic rushing performances in the last 4 weeks to get the numbers up at the end of the year. But through 12 games last year, the Browns only had four games in which they ran over 100 yards. And now it's kind of just more consistent. I think what you liked about this past week was you didn't have an 85-yard run that skewed the stats. I mean, this was consistent chunk yardage by both Duke and Isaiah Crowell, both, and especially Duke, running between the tackles, getting those tough yards. You've got something going with those two running backs, two young pieces of this offense. And then once you get the passing game at maybe a level that it was at week two combined with that running attack, you've got something going on offense where, you know, 430 yards, you should usually win the game with that. It just didn't happen on Sunday.
It did not. And you talk about Crow and Duke. They fourth in the league in rushing, second in yards per carry. They've got the longest run in the NFL still this season, four runs of more than 20 yards, though. So it wasn't just one, four, which is also tops in the National Football League. Talking with Sir Andrew Gribble. Now, part of that, I thought the interior of the line, when you had Betonio, Greco, and Bailey, was pretty good. Obviously, with the latest on Alvin Bailey, we're not sure if he will be available against the Redskins. If he's not able to go, we don't expect Cam Irving back. How do you see that line playing out?
Well, I think there's probably, and we talked about this before, so there's probably two things you could do in the short term if you are without Bailey. I think the first one would kick out Austin Pastore to right guard, and then you bring Spencer Drango in at right tackle. Second option, you bring in Austin Ryder, the guy they signed last week to give you a backup center, put him at center, and put Greco back at right guard. I know Drango was brought in to be a versatile guy, first one off the bench, but we just haven't seen him all that much at guard in practice where you'd be comfortable just sliding him in at right guard. So I think that it might require multiple shifts, but it's something we'll just have to keep following throughout the week.
Matt, for a chemistry, for the line that's working well together in terms of chemistry right now, what would be more disruptive, to bring in a guy that's been here for a week in Austin Ryder, or to have Drango, you know, go in at right tackle, move Pastore to right guard?
I would say I would say bringing Drango in, a guy that's been here, because he's played in this scheme. Drango's moved around, you know, starting at guard, moving to tackle, but getting reps at left tackle, you know, almost playing tight end position at times when he comes in as that extra blocker. So he's familiar with the line calls. He's familiar with what the expectations that Hal Hunter, his position coach, wants of him. And the new guy is just learning all those things now. And I think he might be less apt to make a mistake by having Drango, who's familiar with the terminology and the schemes and so on and so forth, as opposed to a guy who's, again, cramming for a test coming in to make that move.
And has to make the calls, right, at center.
Here's something else to think about, though. I don't know Ryder's versatility, but if you start Drango and you have those guys on the bench, Ryder and Coleman, you've lost a backup guard on your line. You would have to then, if Drango for
reshuffle.
Some reason went down with an injury, you'd have to completely reshuffle with the backups you have on hand. I mean, so it would require multiple shifts that way. So that might be something you consider also if you're thinking about contingency plans with this offensive line. But something we'll still be following with Alvin Bailey starting tomorrow, I think.
What do you think of Terrell Pryor's performance? And just, you know, is this a guy that the Browns would be wise to lock up before he hits the market at the end of the season?
I think he's just been everything you could have ever hoped for and more through this point. And it's almost crazy because I think there's been a lot of focus on what he did at the quarterback spot and how he's able to run, but his receiving performance was one of the best this team has seen in the last 3 years, and I think that's the most commendable thing about him. And I think that, and as Hugh Jackson said yesterday, there were more yards out there for him. I think there were some other opportunities where it could have been an even bigger game, but I think at the end of the game he might have been a little gassed because it was hot and he was doing just about everything. So I'm interested to see how he then fits in with Corey Coleman and Josh Gordon in this offense, but thrust into a position where he was the number one receiver, he played like a number one receiver. Catching balls in a variety of ways too, I think it's good. He's not a one-trick kind of guy. I mean, he can do slants across the middle, he can do outs, he can go long. Just a lot of versatility, and just continues to be amazed at how far he's come, because we talked about this last year training camp. He just wasn't there yet, and in a year he's really developed.
And when you say he played the role of the number one receiver, Cody Kessler attempted 33 passes, 14 of them were to Terrell Pryor. No two other targets added up. Barnage had 6, Johnson 7. They were second and third respectively. That's just 13. So he dominated. He dominated the targets in that game and delivered.
Yeah, and do you think that, obviously, you know, with Josh Norman coming up at corner this week, do you think Washington, seeing the impact that Terrell Pryor had on the game, to be almost a one-man wrecking crew, he has to attract a lot of attention, and now it's going to force, you know, Hollywood Higgins and Andrew Hawkins and Gary Barnage and the backside of the backfield to be a much more focal point for this offense this week against Washington.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Washington actually adjusts their strategy to get Norman on the number one guy, because it's been kind of back and forth. Everyone talked about the Steelers game where Norman wasn't on Antonio Brown, and you know, the Redskins have injuries in the secondary too. I think Breshad Breeland is probably out for this game. D'Angelo Hall's out for the season, so they're coming into this game banged up in the secondary, and we're already a team that's kind of been hurt through the air in their first few games. So the opportunities are there, but I think the guy that you want more from, based on the snaps you saw him get Sunday, was Ricardo Lewis. It looks like he was Corey Coleman's backup and got that kind of snap, that kind of workload, whereas Higgins was only on the field for about 15 to 18 snaps. So you look for one of those two guys to really emerge.
Lewis just looks more explosive to me right now, running his routes, just has a little bit more speed. He saw that on that big catch.
Yeah, he's a great athlete, and I think that it's the knock on him coming out at the combine was the hands. I think he's gotten better at that, but I still think he can get better. So you just need someone else to step up alongside Pryor, especially if you're going to continue to use him at quarterback, because that's going to – I just think the mental and physical grind of going through that, it's going to wear you out by the fourth quarter. And he's a phenomenal athlete, but it's going to wear you out no matter what.
This defense through 3 weeks I think has surprised a lot of people. What has been the biggest surprise to you on the defensive side of the ball?
I think the amount of guys that they're rotating in and out and kind of the fearless mentality that Ray Horton has in putting these young guys in big situations. The fact that Corey Lemonnier was on the field to make a huge play with less than a minute to play. I mean, a guy that we haven't really talked about much before this past week, but he's been getting a steady dose of snaps. Tyrone Holmes is getting about 14, 15 snaps. So he's keeping guys fresh. So you had fresh pass rushers at the end of the game, which is something we just didn't see last year because you had guys like Paul Kruger and Nate Orchard getting like 75, 80% of the snaps. I think those guys need to be fresh, and he's doing that, and he's trusting players even though they don't have a ton of experience. Even on the pick six, Gabe Wright was in there on the practice squad a couple weeks ago. Him and Holmes are providing huge pressure to force Daniel in the back throw. So there's a lot of guys that he's entrusting with significant roles, even though you only have a handful of guys with like legitimate NFL experience.
How surprised are you that quickly he's kind of recognized what he has here and has gone to many, many more four-man fronts than three-man fronts?
It's been refreshing, I think, because you're making what you can out of the players on hand, and I think you're getting the best out of those guys. I think that we've just seen so much growth with Danny Shelton from year one to year two. You're seeing these rookies be put in position to make plays. I think Derek Kindred had another pretty solid game in Miami, and he's quickly emerging as one of the hardest hitters on the team. It doesn't seem like if he has an opportunity to hit someone, he doesn't miss it. And I think that's what you want out of that safety position. I think Jordan Poyer had a better game this past week. It was a lot more active. So you just need this all to come together, because I think the defense, with the way the NFL is now, this defense has played good enough to win in the last two games. So you want to reward them and get both sides of the ball. You want to have that winning feeling for both of them, because they're playing better football and football that is deserving of a win.
How about some updates on the injuries and some very important ones? Joe Hayden, the likelihood that he plays, Cam Irving, Josh McCown, Corey Coleman, Carl Nassib. Are these where are they at from a week standpoint, so that, you know, the folks at home can look at their schedule and start to really understand when they're going to have some of these playmakers back?
I think Coleman and Irving, you probably would expect to still be out at this point. Coleman for sure. I mean, he was marked at 4 to 6 weeks as of last week, so it's probably about a month away for Corey Coleman. A guy to watch is maybe Ibrahim Campbell. We don't know if he's going to be back from that hamstring injury. He missed practice all last week. Joe Hayden, I think it's likely he's going to be in position to be back, because he was a true game time decision last week. I'm trying to think of all the other, there's a lot of them. Nate Orchard it seems like he's going to be out for a while with the high ankle sprain. Tremont Williams
had surgery on it. Didn't Coach Hugh Jackson say that?
I don't know if he had surgery, but it looks like it's just said he was going to be out for a while. So okay. I think that's a significant amount of time.
So do you expect to see more Holmes, more Corey Lemonnier, especially if Nassib isn't back? Although, is it possible Nassib comes back?
I don't think that's been ruled out at this point.
So Nassib with the club.
He's been week to week. I mean, again, in the club. Yeah, if you're looking at the broken hand, clearly the wide receiver needs the hands more than the defensive end in this position fully healed. So I think I would expect Nassib back before Corey Coleman.
And the last one, just Josh McCown. I know, what did they say, fractured clavicle?
Fractured, yeah.
Or collarbone?
That's what we were using. No, not broken collarbone.
Okay. Fractured clavicle.
I think he's week to week, but I think Hugh Jackson coming out yesterday saying, barring something surprising, Cody Kessler's the starter this Sunday. Sure. So I would expect at least another week for McCown, if not a few more.
And if Cody Kessler goes out and wins and plays another good game, does Cody Kessler stay your quarterback in this year of, you know, finding out what young guys can help you?
You would hope to have a hard decision to make at the quarterback that isn't a decision by default. So I think that's the goal. If you're Cody Kessler, you want them to have to think hard about who they're going to put in at quarterback between you or McCown when McCown's healthy. We saw the effectiveness of this offense with a healthy McCown for one quarter. I think that's indisputable. And I think Hugh Jackson made clear they're playing to win this season. They want these guys to have a winning feel in the locker room. So I think it would be a hard decision to keep McCown on the sidelines if he's healthy. But if you continue to see Kessler blossom like this and he doesn't get any worse than he did this past Sunday, which was a pretty solid performance for an NFL debut, then it'll be a tough call. I mean, I think that it, after all the injury problems the Browns have had, it would be refreshing to have a good problem to have with a quarterback system where you're deciding between two healthy quarterbacks.
It would be a great thing for the Browns. You talked about some of the young guys stepping up. I know you're doing some work on Tyrone Holmes, Breann "Boddy" Calhoun, nominated for NFL Rookie of the Week, and Corey Lemonnier as well. What's what do you have going on
there? Yeah, we wrote about it yesterday. It's just the fact that you claimed five guys on waivers the day after cutdown day. One of them had an immediate role, George Atkinson III on kickoffs. And then these other three guys have slowly but surely learned the defense and had more and more of an effective role. I would expect to see Lemonnier and Holmes. I think they're regulars now in the rotation. Even if they're not starters, they're going to be on the field a decent amount of time. And then depending on the injury status of Tremont Williams, Joe Hayden, Boddy Calhoun looks to be that first guy off the bench, especially because he can play nickel and can play the outside. So a guy that really was off the radar, even among those five waiver claims, went from being a total no name to a guy everyone seems to remember because it's a name you don't really forget.
No, absolutely not. And he's a little bit of a Renaissance man, a very interesting interview. I know you caught up with him. That'll be on the Hugh Jackson show.
Yes.
This good kid. Thursday night. Yeah, very good.
Humble kid.
Cool. Yeah, very cool story. I was very happy to be there. But even, you know, it was interesting even talking to him. You know, he was obviously happy to make his NFL debut. He was thrilled that he got a pick six, but he was like, still, I just wanted to win.
Right.
And I like that attitude that's been instilled in a lot of these guys. Gribbs, thanks so much. Follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Gribble. And Gribbs, did you come up with a name for the Mrs. Spray that he's been using to illegally blind his opponents before he gives them a skull-crushing finale?
I work on it.
You work on it?
Yeah, I wasn't able to hear. I was walking between the office and the studio when that was happening. I only caught the tail end of that segment.
Okay.
So I have to go back and listen.
Yes. I'm sure it's a must listen. Gribbs, yeah. Appreciate the time. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Still to come, John Costco from Pro Football Focus for his weekly segment with us as well, going inside the numbers on Kessler and the Browns' ground game. He's got some very interesting stuff that's coming up after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Yeah, we know. We're putting our hands up in the air.
And then they were staying there.
And then they go up and down and up and down. Again.
Well, welcome back to CBD.
Do they have any other headphones for you guys?
What?
Do they have any other headphones?
What do you mean?
Isn't that what was going on? The headphone issues? Or did you get that resolved?
Yeah, it was. People are coming in here and messing with the settings of this thing on a daily basis.
Well, you guys, like, that's the thing. People understand the Dog Bowl is like there's five different shows, literally different shows that go on in there.
Not on Tuesdays.
Yeah, usually Monday and Tuesday. Yeah.
I've got some breaking news on Pro Football Talks power rankings. Cleveland Browns are 31st in front of the Chicago Bears.
Hey.
Moving on up. Moving on up. Like the Jeffersons. Moving on up.
Jaguars 30, Saints 29, Chargers 28, Lions 27, 49ers 26.
You know, I was just looking too. That's one website. Another website that has the Browns moving up in their NFL rankings as well. 538.com, the statistical analysis folks, have the Browns at 30th ahead of both Jacksonville and Tennessee.
What do you make of, speaking of Jacksonville, what do you make of Jalen Ramsey's comments about Steve Smith, Sr.? Did you see them?
Yeah, he should
shut his mouth. And how weird and like kind of awkward was he in his, like, yet trying to be aggressive and scary?
Very odd. What I thought was great was that Steve Smith's like, they're gonna be putting a gold jacket on me and nobody's gonna even know who you are and talking smack to him. Ice up, son. Steve Smith. So we'll watch it. When you watch the next Ravens game, if he's on TV, look at his calves. The leg where he busted his Achilles, his calf is like an impressive sized calf. Like, you'd be like, oh man, does he work out, you know? But then on his other leg, the non-injured leg, his calf is like the size of a small township. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
It's like an infant rat grabbing on his leg.
On his leg, yeah. Absurd. That guy is That guy is a stud. That guy's a stud. Yeah. Why? Stud. So you think Jalen Ramsey's just trying to like make a name for himself, just like his?
Yeah, and I think it's just kind of, you know, that you can't try me, because if Steve Smith were to walk all over him and he lets Steve Smith do it, who's the next veteran wide receiver that's going to march into Jacksonville and give him the same type of business? So he's just drawing a line in the sand.
That's like the evolution song. He sees a line in the sand. Yeah, very interesting. 216-578-0850. That's the way to call us up. I mean, did you ever think as a rookie that you would go and that would be basically like, right, that'd be you calling out Tony Gonzalez.
Right. No, I would never do that.
Like, just very interesting. Very interesting. By the way, first hour down, I have to give the first hour to The Miz for saying that he was like, the kicking net, and I was Odell Beckham.
That was fantastic.
That was his best material.
It was his best
material. He peaked early.
He brought it.
He did. He peaked early. All right, hour number two coming up on CBD. When we come back, John Costco from Pro Football Focus takes us inside the numbers. What do you want to know about? Tweet the show at Nathan Zagura, at Browns_daily. What statistical questions and analysis are you looking for Mr. Costco? He will be with us right after this.